السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Because we are in the days of Qurbani, just a few lessons that we can take benefit from. Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, eventually when his father was now threatening him and they wanted him to stop propagating the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he opted to rather leave that place, leave the comforts of his home, whatever else he was familiar with, and now go into unfamiliar territory, strange territory, not knowing what he is going to face going forward. The people of Kahf, Ashabul Kahf, and we know that we are told by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to read this surah on Jumu'ah. So this Ashabul Kahf, they too, when it became now very, very difficult for them to practice their deen, etc., they too decided that no, we rather leave and go away. Leave and go away. Allah Ta'ala will then open a road for us. Allah Ta'ala will guide us. Allah Ta'ala will find a way out for us. So we find this in Islamic history when we study many, many situations. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he had to leave and go. Yusuf alayhi salam, he was forcefully sent away, deceitfully by the brothers at that time. Different incidents where they had to leave and go away. Even Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, they too had to leave. They had to leave Makkah Mukarramah and they had to go away to Madinah Munawwara in order for them to practice their deen properly, establish a markaz of deen, and then we know how deen spread from there to the four corners of the world. So this is something that we also need to adopt in our lives. I am not talking about making a hijrat, if it has to come to that, where a person is not being allowed to follow his deen, then if he has to leave that country and go to another country where he can practice his deen, then he has to do that. He cannot just sit around in this country where he is being told that he can't practice his deen. We're talking about faraiz, wajibat, important things, aspects of his deen. If he is being stifled, then he must make hijrat from there, go away elsewhere. But that is not something that's going to happen every day. But the situation that we face every day is that we are in environments that we cannot save ourselves from the guna. Whether it's a family get together, whether it is an Eid occasion, whether it is a business anniversary, whatever it may be, if it is such a situation that my presence there is impossible for me to stay away from the guna, stay away from the sin, I am going to be exposed to the guna there, then it is my duty to then move away from there. I must move away from there. Why must I go into that environment of guna, into that environment of sin? So that is one lesson we take, that Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said, "Inni zahibun ila Rabbi sayahdeen." I am going away now. I'm going to my Rabb. In other words, I'm leaving my hometown and I'm going away. Allah Ta'ala will then guide me. Allah Ta'ala will then do khair for me. The other thing is that when a person makes up his mind to take the path of deen, it doesn't mean that now, okay, I'm doing this for Allah Ta'ala, so everything in my life is going to be rosy now. I made this qurbani, I made this sacrifice. I studied for the pleasure of Allah, or I went out in the path of Allah, or whatever khidmat a person is making. So it doesn't mean that now when I take that path, I mean Allah Ta'ala is Qadir Mutlaq, Allah's khazanas are limitless, so now that I have taken this path, so there's not going to be any difficulty that's going to come to me now. If we have to study the lives of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam, their lives were totally in the mission of Allah Ta'ala's deen. But they too faced so much of difficulty. Ibrahim alayhi salam, this was just the starting of his difficulties. He left the home and went. After that, so many other difficulties came. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, how much he had to endure in Makkah Mukarramah. Then when he went away to Madina Munawwara, it's not like everything now just stopped. Yes, there was some level of aman now, some level of security, etc. in Madina Munawwara. But then the wars started. Then was the fitna of the munafiqeen. Then so many, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to go through so many tests regarding his own family, close family. So many difficulties. So these difficulties will come, and the true servant of Allah Ta'ala will have to endure it with sabr. Mujahada will have to be made, qurbani will have to be given, mehnat will have to be made, and a person will have to endure these things, no matter what the situation is, whatever test Allah Ta'ala puts on that person. Imagine Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how many of his children passed away in his life? How many of his own children passed away in his life? How many of his grandchildren passed away in his life? But he had to still remain focused, consoling others, being there for others, guiding others, continuing with his work. He couldn't sit down and say, well, I'm going through difficulty now, so I need some time off. And no, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to just continue with the work. So when we choose this path, the path, many people become impatient. But I'm reading my namaz, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Why am I still going through difficulties? So it doesn't mean that if we choose this path, the path is for our own benefit. The place for sawab and reward is the akhirat, not the dunya. In fact, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, when they started receiving wealth and when their standard of living improved, etc. in the dunya, they became worried. They became worried that now, are we getting our share in the world and there isn't going to be anything for us in the hereafter? They got worried. So Allah Ta'ala can give in the dunya also. Allah Ta'ala can give in the akhirat also. But if Allah Ta'ala withholds something or Allah Ta'ala tests us in the world, then we mustn't become impatient. Never become impatient and feel, but I'm doing this right and I'm doing that right. I'm showing good akhlaq, I'm being a good child, whatever. How come these difficulties are coming my way? Just endure everything with sabr, with patience, with tolerance. The time for thawab and reward, that is in the hereafter, that is in the akhirat. The other very important thing that is always highlighted, and we cannot highlight it enough, is that we as ummatis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are so indebted to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But one sahabi, he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that how much of my time should I dedicate to Durood Sharif? They said, if I dedicate quarter of my time, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, a quarter is good, but if you can dedicate more, would be better. He said, what about one third? What about half? What about two thirds? Eventually he told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I dedicate all my time to Durood Sharif. So obviously a person has to read Quran Sharif also, has to do other amal also, but whatever free time there is, dedicate it to Durood Sharif. And then too, that recitation of Durood Sharif is for our benefit. It's for our benefit. But it shows that the person has got some level of love for Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we are so indebted to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the dunya, if somebody puts us in touch with one contact, one passport contact, one contact in the airport, one contact for some whatever, somebody puts us in touch with one contact. Now we are so indebted to that person. Hey, lucky you showed me that chap, man. You showed me that chap, my calm got sorted out. Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has shown us the way to Allah Ta'ala. He has connected us with Allah Ta'ala. The world was drowning in shirk, darkness, zulam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and he took us, showed us the way to come out of the darkness and come into light. So how indebted we are to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Over and above that, there are many perks that this ummah enjoys, which the previous ummah never enjoyed. And this enjoying these perks is solely on account of being from the ummah of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You take Qurbani, the previous ummahs, they couldn't consume of the Qurbani. Whatever they gave as Qurbani, they couldn't consume it. But the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can consume. Not only can consume it, you get sawab for consuming it. It's a sunnah, it's a mustahab. To start off the day of Eid al-Adha, you eat the liver, what we call kareji of the animal, that is a mustahab act. To partake of the Qurbani meat is a sunnah of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slaughtered the 100 camels in the last Mubarak year of his Mubarak life, he slaughtered 100 camels. So now he wanted to partake of each animal. Now how are you going to partake 100 camels? How is he going to eat? So Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed that a piece of meat from each camel must be put into a pot, a huge pot, and that must be cooked, and then he will partake of that meal. So some particle of that 100 camels will all be in that curry, in that meal. So the previous ummahs, they couldn't eat the Qurbani, we can eat our Qurbani. The previous ummahs, if their Qurbani was not accepted in the Allah, immediately it was made known to one another. Because if the Qurbani was accepted, then a fire would come and consume it. If the Qurbani is not accepted, it would just lay there. The fire would not come and consume it. How embarrassing it was. How embarrassed the person will be that now my Qurbani was not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in our ummah, in the ummah of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this doesn't happen. We don't know whose Qurbani is accepted, whose Qurbani is not accepted. We keep making dua to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala accept all our Qurbanis. And the least we can do is follow the laws of Allah Ta'ala when carrying out the Qurbani. Allah Ta'ala hasn't embarrassed us if our Qurbani is not accepted. The least we can do is follow the laws of Allah Ta'ala while we carrying out the Qurbani, and not only while Qurbani, at all times in our life. Follow the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then in the early days of Islam, the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in, they were not allowed to keep the meat for more than these 3 days. One is you got the day of Eid, and then the 3 days of Tashriq after Eid. So they were not allowed to keep any Qurbani meat for more than that. In the 3 days after Eid, all that Qurbani meat must be consumed. We are not allowed to keep it. But we, Allah Ta'ala's mercy upon us, again through the barakat of being the ummatis of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that initial law was abrogated. And then it was made permissible that you can keep the Qurbani meat also. After the 3 days, you can keep the Qurbani meat. So that Qurbani meat, the mustahab distribution is that 1/3 is given away to the poor, 1/3 is distributed amongst family and friends, and 1/3 the person can keep for himself, for his own household. But if the person doesn't give anything away, he keeps the whole thing for himself, then to the Qurbani is still accepted. Allah Ta'ala's mercy is so much. He doesn't give anything away. He keeps the whole carcass, keeps it for himself at home. Then to his Qurbani is still done. So all this is just on account of being the ummati of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Previous ummats, they never enjoyed these benefits. They never enjoyed these perks. Now when Allah Ta'ala has given us all of this on account of being the ummati of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now how ungrateful we will be if we don't follow the sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We want to follow the ways of others. We consider the ways of others to be enjoyable or to be, or respect is in that. The right way to do things is how they are doing it, etc. Even our own success, sometime we attribute our success to other things, not to the deen of Allah Ta'ala. We attribute our wealth, etc., or the security of the country, etc., to external means, not to Allah Ta'ala. This is a lot of ingratitude on our part. A lot of ingratitude on our part. I was having a discussion with one person. So he asked me, he says, so who are you going to vote for? When you worry about who you going to vote. So he was talking about a certain party that is very anti-Islam. Wherever those people have won local elections, the Muslims there, they have a problem to put up masajid, they have a problem to run their madrasas. So he said, no, we must vote for that party. So I told him, no, you mustn't vote for that party. He said, if you don't vote for that party, you got no future in this country. I said, what you mean? Isn't Allah Ta'ala is in charge of all of that? We rather not have roads. We rather have potholes and not have proper roads. But we can build our masajid, we can build our madaris, we can have our khankas, have our tablighi marakis, do our deen. Isn't that is more important? But to a lot of people, the mindset has changed. Everything has become material. So we need to do soul searching. We need to check within ourselves that when Allah Ta'ala has blessed us so much through the barakat of being the ummati of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are benefiting so much, then it is our duty that we lead a life loyal to Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We lead a life in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala give you tawfiq. Grant the entire ummah tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.